Jerusalem, how I long for you to gaze at your walls, to walk on your
Shalom, welcome to this week's Living Torah. And just a couple quick things before we get started. First of all, is that the Israel trip, we have about three slots left from what I'm, people that are, they've told me they're about to sign up. So if there's a chance, if there's a possibility, you'd like to be a part of that, you need to go to connecttoisrael.com. If it's not .com, it's .org, but I can't remember right off the top of my head which one it is. And sign up. The information is there. Love to see you. And I'm going to be home for a couple weeks and be traveling. I'll be out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I need to update my website, actually. Tulsa, Oklahoma, and also in Lubbock, Texas. Okay? So I'll get that on the web here the next week or two. Anybody that's in the area. Let's go. We're going to go right into Philippians. And verse 22, we're still talking about this man, Timothy, who is, you know, he's an intriguing person. So Paul Shaul is pouring his life into someone else, Timothy. And we see this as a concept all through Scripture that Moshe poured into Joshua, Elijah into Elisha, Yeshua himself pouring into numerous people. It begs the question of who do you have in your life that you are pouring your life into? Okay, I was writing something yesterday to our partners in a, I just did a CD, well, CD MP3 because it's going out in both right now. That, and I was typing a letter and I just kind of watched myself type the words that make your life more than just a dash between two numbers on a gravestone, on a grave marker, a tombstone, whatever you want to call that granite thing that's up there. We need to make our life more than just a little dash that is between two numbers, the date of our birth and the date of our death. How do we do that? We do that by pouring our life into other people. So that literally at the time, not trying to be morbid of anything, but at the time of our death, if you want to consider this, that there is a moment in time of our birth, there is our life which is represented by that dash. But if our life has been lived in the way that it is purposed, then the ending numbers are really irrelevant, because that is just the time of the expiration of this physical body. But that which we have accomplished within has been poured into others that are going to continue on what we have done. And that's what there is here with Shaul. He is pouring his life into Timothy, and it says some of the most amazing words to me regarding this man. It says in verse 22 that, but you know his character. You know his character. He doesn't say that his character is. Okay, if our life, if our character, the person that we are, if that has to be explained to someone, then we are not a person of character. Consider that. Think that one through for a moment. That if when someone says, you know, your name, and they say you know their character, and then they have to go and explain the character, then the person doesn't know the character. To just simply say, Timothy, you know his character. Now, we could put a couple of other words in there. We could put his reputation. You know his name. You know who this man is, what this man stands for. Okay? this is one of the greatest things that you and I have, is the reputation of our name. In fact, in the end, it is really the only thing that we truly possess. Everything that we have in life can be taken from us. Our wealth, our position, your job, your income, your health, the list goes on and on and on. That everything that we have in life can be taken from us. But our name, our reputation, our character is something that can never be taken away from you. You can give it away. You and I have the power to give our character away, to give our name away, to allow our name and character to be abused. Why? Because we did not protect our honor. We did not protect our character. To go to another level here, the message I just mentioned to you, available on our website, you can go there. I began a different direction. I began with five questions that the vast majority of people will never even have the sense in life to ask. A greater majority who ask those questions will never find the answers to those questions. So what are the questions? To digress just a moment. The questions are, who am I? Where am I from? Why am I here? What is my purpose? And what is the results? What are the results of the first four questions? Or what is my destiny? That ended up becoming a message as I was walking through it on his reputation. For his namesake is what I titled the message. I talked about this a few weeks ago on this program. I guess that was kind of the seed of a lot of this. I'm going to expand that message probably in months to come. So Timothy had a reputation. He had a character. He had a name that was upholding the name of Shaul, Paul, and was also upholding the name of the Creator himself. And that should be our desire, that everything about our character reflects his character. Is my character reflecting his character? When a person sees you, when a person sees me, are they seeing the character and image and reputation of the Creator himself? Or is our life an obscure image? Is it a flawed image? Of course, we're flawed people, yes. But I believe that even flawed people can reflect the true character of the Almighty. But we have to desire, first of all, to walk in that character. That is where many people don't go to. So, goes on and says, but you know his character, that like a child with his father, he slaved with me to advance the good news. Now, like a child with his father is something that is... we don't get the full meaning in our life, especially in our society today. Because there are children that are being brainwashed from birth regarding manhood, regarding fatherhood. The commercials, and this is one that you want something that will just drive my wife into a different world, is when these commercials have an agenda of putting down fathers, that they are the babbling idiots of the family, which I guess maybe it's truth in a lot of ways, But let's see it. Let's just face it, that manhood, fatherhood is being attacked, has been attacked for centuries. Probably, actually, we can go back from the beginning. It is being attacked at a higher rate today. And so, children, young men specifically, I'm going to go to that, to just that gender. Young men are not being raised to emulate their father. In this day, young men were being raised to emulate their father. They would take on the job, the profession, the business. The firstborn was taking on all of those things regarding the family. This is the whole concept of who Yeshua was and why, you know, why Yaakov was not there, but later on would take over and this why? Because what the father was, the son became. If you consider, and I agree with Brad Scott on this one, of Yeshua was not a carpenter or a stonemason, and I mean, my opinion of this has changed dramatically through the years, but he was a man of the field, a farmer, and that word that is translated carpenter can be translated there very, very simply. But that his father Yosef was actually a person of the field, which would go in line with the heavenly father who first planted a garden. It just continues on. But he took over. Why? Because Yaakov, the firstborn, is not doing that. But then what do we see after the crucifixion, resurrection of Yeshua, after the ascension? We see that Yaakov becomes a farmer, but he's planting seeds for a harvest of men. Okay, so we see this, that in that day, what the father was, the son was striving to become. How totally different we have in our society today. That children are being raised to be embarrassed of their parents. Here we see that Timothy, though he is a grown man, Timothy had been brought under, if we could say, under the wing of Shaul. Now, I guess we could kind of go to that of was Shaul, Paul, was he actually married? Was he not married? Did he not have children? Okay, we're given hints of that. And this is one of those hints that he did not have children of his own. We look at that in Corinthians also. Was he at one time married? You know, those are all speculations. What we see, and this is the relevant point, is that Shaul found someone that he could pour his life into like a father into a son. And Timothy accepted that. He desired to walk in that, and he put himself in the position for the purpose of carrying on the legacy and the image and the work of Shaul. Says he slaved with me. Why? To advance the good news. The gospel. Okay, again, you know, going back, what is the gospel? If you were to ask me 25 years ago, what is the gospel? If you were to ask most people sitting, going to a church today, what is the gospel? If you were to ask many messianics today, what is the gospel? They would say that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. However, when the words spoken, going all the way back into the Torah and the Tanakh, how beautiful are the feet of those who spread the gospel, has Yeshua, has the manifestation of the death, burial, and resurrection been yet? No, it hasn't. When Yeshua said, go out and preach the gospel, Has he been placed upon a stake? No, unless we go to Revelation and we see that he was slain from the foundations of the earth, which means he was also resurrected from the foundations of the earth. But the manifestation of that had not yet happened. So what is the good news? The good news is the kingdom is coming. The gospel is that the manifestation of the kingdom is upon you. That you have been brought into, you have seen the kingdom. Abraham, standing on Mount Moriah, having just been willing to offer his son Isaac upon that altar, and he says, on this mountain, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh will be seen, or as many as I do believe that he actually saw a manifestation of the kingdom to come. What did he see? He saw the good news. When you and I have witnessed, when we have looked in the scripture, we've seen the gospel, we've seen the kingdom. We've seen into a time. If you are looking forward to the millennium, then you are looking forward to, you are walking in the gospel. Because the gospel is this. There's a kingdom coming. There's a king coming. There's a dominion that is being established to serve that kingdom. That's what the good news is about. Now, the entrance into that is through the Messiah. It's through the work of the Messiah. So I hope to send him just as soon as I see how things will go with me. And I am confident in Adonai that before long I myself will come too. Now, in going through, and this is one of those places that just the study of it is almost irrelevant, but it's of course not. Nothing in the scripture is irrelevant, but, you know, did Shaul actually go back to Philippi? Most believe no, that he continued on, and this would be, you know, he's writing his death letter. He's writing his last words unto the congregation at Philippi. If you have a different opinion of that, that's fine. No big deal. But see, he never lost hope. He never lost hope in his mission in life continuing on. He desired to go back and spend time with these people that through these years he had developed such a love for, probably over 10 years. Thinking back to his day in that prison with Silas and the being let out of the jail cell and the congregation there at Philippi being established and his time with them and how much joy he had received from these people who were so willing to receive and who were so willing to put down their own agendas, who were so willing to walk away from their own nature. You don't see the bickering. When Shaul talked about and he considered and he wrote to Corinth again and to Galatia, it was all this stuff going around in his head. And I think probably somewhere along the way, as he's pinning the words to Galatia, who are getting so confused about things, he's like, why can't they just be more like the people at Philippi? Oh, to have more people like those at Philippi. What do people think about when they, you know, when if you're part of a congregation and your leader thinks about you, do they have a smile on their face? Are they rejoicing, hoping, you know, please, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, there will be more people like that person brought into this congregation? Or do they think, I couldn't handle another one of them. I just cannot handle another one of these high-maintenance, low-impact people. What are you? What are you? Are you a low-impact, high-maintenance person? When people consider your character, do they consider, that's a person I can only stand to be around for a few minutes? Because they wear you out. When you walk into a room, do you wear people out or build them up? That's all part of your character. for Timothy. He was one of these people that built people up. Philippi, the congregation at Philippi, even the very thought of these people was encouraging to Shaul. Now, he says that I hope, I am confident that before long I myself will come to you. I'm not going to say that he was making some words up, because I don't see Shaul doing that. But was that confidence based upon something a little different? Was that hope that he had of going back to Philippi, and the reason for writing the words, was it as much for, if not a little bit more for them, than it was for him? It says, he already says that my life, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. I'm okay if this is the end. But I believe that his hope of seeing them again as he desired, if there's just, as I told, if there's just that one little drop left in my life, if there's anything left in my life that I can pour into another person, I desire to pour it into the congregation in Philippi. Just one drop left. I'll pour it into them. Because I know that that drop will bring forth good fruit in the end. Was it more for them than it was for him? It's a question that can't be answered. Now, we go from Timothy to this man, Epaphroditus. I know that I'm not pronouncing that extremely well, but, you know, I don't know a lot of people named that way. So it says, I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, the emissary whom you sent to take care of my needs. Now, this man is totally different in his purpose of being in Shaul's life than Timothy. They were both encouraging to Shaul, but they were night and day for the purpose of relationship with this man. Understanding that not everyone is brought into our life for the same purpose, and understanding that we are not placed into another person's life for the same purpose as everybody else. Each relationship we have should be looked at, should be honored, should be respected for a different reason. I was just with a group of people down in Florida this weekend, and as I'm sitting in a hotel room with a number of them, it was never more evident to me that different people are placed in my life for different reasons. And I believe that I, for the same thing with others, that I'm placed in their life for that. Understanding why a person is placed in your life is to respect and be able to grow from the relationship. Many people will never even consider that. You know, let's face it, the average person going through the world thinks on such a shallow plane that they never consider the deeper matters of what relationships are really about. They never consider the deeper matters of what life is all about. If most of your life is being fed into you from the television screen, you're never going to be able to think at much of a much more than a very shallow level. Yeah. Fed into you from the television screen, you're never going to be able to think at much of much more than a very shallow level. If all of your life is coming at you from what someone else is dictating, see, this is why there's times, and Shaul, I think this time that Shaul has here in prison is probably, if he would go back, when he goes back and looks at it in the end, the reason he could say the words later on of no matter what condition, no matter where I'm at, no matter what circumstances I am placed in, I have learned to be content. I'll talk about that more when we get there. But he understood that his being put in isolation was for a purpose. Some of the best times of my life is when I'm isolated, when I'm in that wilderness place. Wilderness makes you think. Wilderness times, desert times, quiet times in life make you think deeper. For these relationships and the purpose of relationships, we need to understand why a person was brought into our life. We need to understand why we were brought into another person's life. So with this man, my brother, my fellow worker, and soldier, I'm just going to go ahead and read it to the end. The emissary whom you sent to take care of my need, since he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, close to death, but Elohim had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me. Otherwise, I would have sorrow piled on sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that you may rejoice when you see him again, and I, for my part, may be less sad. So give him a joyful welcome in Adonai. Honor such people. For he risked his life and nearly died working for the Messiah in order to give me the help you were not in a position to give. So here's the difference between Timothy and Epaphroditus. Okay. Timothy is placed in Shaul's life as a person. I've talked about this recently, of the conduit. Okay, Timothy is there for Shaul to pour through his life and into another's life. Paul is the mentor of Timothy. And Timothy is going to take the legacy. He's going to take the baton and he's going to move forward in this race with that baton. The same as Joshua was with Moshe. The same as Elisha was with Elijah. The same as the disciples were with Yeshua. Okay. He was there. For that reason, he was brought in for that reason of being able to pour into. However, this man is not there for that reason. It's a seemingly very selfish thing that Shaul has been given this man, Epaphroditus, for the specific reason of upholding Shaul. There is a certain level, yes, but for the most part, there's no pouring through. He is just there for the purpose. I'm thinking another reference would be when Yeshua is carrying that execution stake, that cross beam of the execution stake. And we see him trip and fall. And then a man is brought up, Simon, that is raised up to help him in carrying that execution stake. We don't see that anything else has happened, happens with this man. He was just brought there for a reason. And that reason is for this man to complete his vision, to complete his purpose. So, with the man raised up to carry, to help carry the execution stake of Yeshua, he was raised up in order for Yeshua to make it to his destination, his purpose. And that is it. With Aphrodite, he is raised up in order for Shaul to make it to, he needed something. He needed encouragement. He needed some kind of an encouraging word. He needed someone that will stand beside him just for the purpose of standing beside him. Nothing more. There are times in life that you need someone to stand by you just for the sake of standing by you. In ministry, anyone that's been a part of ministry knows the traps of ministry. And one of those is this constant need to pour through you and into someone else. That you're constantly looking to pour through. But the greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts, is when you are brought a person or people into your life, that though you are pouring your life into them, that's not the focus. They are being brought there for you. Moses standing on the mountaintop, that first battle, he's raising his arms, and as he's raising his arms in the air, as long as he has his arms up, the Hebrews are winning the battle. But as soon as those arms begin to sag and to drop down beside him, the battle is lost. They're losing the battle. And so what did the Almighty bring? He brought Aaron and Hur alongside of him. For what purpose? Nothing of their own. There was nothing in it that day for Aaron, for Hur. There was nothing in it for them. They were brought there to hold up the arms of another. When men and women are brought into your life for the purpose of upholding your arms, those people are some of the most meaningful people in your life. The very fact that the Father would bring someone into your life for no other reason but to hold up your arms, them not expecting anything in return, is extremely humbling. Aphrodite was brought into the life of Shaul, and Shaul understood. He understood what this meant because he understood what this man had done. It appears that he brought an offering to different translations here. That he brought an offering of some kind of help for Shaul to meet some kind of monetary needs. I don't understand that totally in the prison cell. But in that day, when a visitor came, when someone came seeking out a prisoner, the visitor was putting his own life at risk because you were guilty by association. Guilty by association. In the time of Rome, this is totally different than our day to day. You know, you didn't just have just visiting rites and you just go in, but everyone was held in suspicion. Rome was a society, a culture, a government that was always looking at who is going to try to overthrow us. And so everyone is held in suspicion. Shaul is a threat. Why? Because he is following in the footsteps of Yeshua. And so the Shaul's presence reminds them of what happened years earlier, in that he, in that Yeshua, in their opinion, came very close to overthrowing their government. So now Shaul is held in suspicion of the same thing. Here's this man coming to visit Shaul. His very presence, just the fact that he showed up, they could have thrown him in jail in the next cell or one down from him with no reason. This isn't a day like today to where we have so-called due process and, you know, the Miranda rights and everything. If you were, it's like Nazi Germany. All you had to have is someone saying that you had done something, they'll throw you in jail. They'll execute you. Same thing holds true here. This man put himself at risk. He put his very life at risk with no apparent reward. He didn't know. He didn't know that a book was going to be written. He didn't know the impact that he had had on Shaul's life. He had just done this because in his mind it was the right thing to do. Why? Because he was walking in his calling with nothing else, with nothing in return. You know when you're walking in your calling when you're not expecting anything in return, because your life is just to be poured out with nothing in it for you. That's when you and I know that we've come to the place of the motive, the righteous motive in our life, is that when we begin to do things for others, even if there's nothing in it for us. When we begin to do things for others, even if it puts our own life in danger. But we do it. When we put our fears to the side. I'm going to pay for this one. Recently, we were on a cruise. As some of you know, we Kathy and I won a cruise to the Grand Turks. And part of that cruise was to go out snorkeling. Well, I haven't snorkeled for a long time. Kathy, less than that. And it was pretty choppy out there that day. And so it was, you know, it just wasn't the perfect environment for someone that hasn't snorkeled. Well, I decided I'm going. And Kathy said, well, I think I'll just, you know, I'll just watch and, you know, see what's going on. No big deal. But there was another lady on the boat, on the catamaran, and she wanted to go snorkeling. She just, I mean, her desire was, I'm going to go snorkel. I've come out here, I want to go snorkeling. But she wasn't going by herself. And her husband was a dentist, I think, and he looked at those snorkels, and, you know, they'd been put into a lot of people's mouth. He says, I'm not putting that in my mouth. I'm not going in the water. Forget it. No way. This lady said, I want to go so bad, but I can't go by myself. And Kathy said, come on, I'll go with you. And all of a sudden I hear my wife's voice over my shoulder. And why is she out here? Because she had put her own life to the side in order for someone else to achieve something that they wanted in their life. See, that is servanthood. When you put your life, everything, your desires, your fears, your everything else, when you put it to the side in order to help someone achieve what they desire in life. Aphrodite, even to the point of we don't know, we're not told why he became sick and almost died. We're not told. But this trip to see Shaul, to encourage this man, almost cost him his life. Are we willing to go to that extent with our own lives for someone else? See, greater love has no man than he would give his life for his friends. That's what Yeshua walked out. Are we willing to take on that characteristic of Messiah himself? The greater love, what greater love is there than we would give of ourself when there's really nothing in return for us? Chapter 3, to get there. In conclusion, interesting enough, he's got two chapters of introduction and two chapters of conclusion. Okay, he goes ahead and halfway through his message, halfway through his book here, he says, in conclusion, which means, you know, kind of the same thing it does today. What does it mean when the pastor, the preacher, the teacher says, you know, I'm closing? It means absolutely nothing. It's just a fact. In conclusion, my brothers, rejoice in union with Adonai. Rejoice in union with, he would use the words, the Lord, which would be rejoice in union with Messiah. Why? Because to be in union with Messiah is to be in union with the Father. To be in Him is to be in the Father. To be in Him is to be restored to right relationship with the one who has created us. Rejoice. That word, rejoice, is something that comes from deep down. This is not a superficial thing. See, there's a difference between happiness and joy. And that's the center of this word, rejoice. There's a difference between the two. Happiness can be based upon my circumstances. Shaul is not happy. Okay? He's not happy that he is in jail. He's not just walking around with some, you know, Cheshire cat grin on his face that has no meaning. Happiness is something that is an emotion that can be brought forth and changed by circumstances. On the other hand, rejoicing, joy, is something that is inside of you. Joy cannot be affected by outward circumstances. Happiness can. So the question is, if your emotions, if you are an emotional train wreck many times, and you're going from, you know, over here you're laughing to over here you're crying, and it's all based upon what's going on around you. Well, that says, let me say it in a more politically correct word than what was in my head right there. if our emotions are based upon outward circumstances, that means that we have never gotten, and we have never come to the place of being in touch with an inward joy. Joy, return unto me the joy of my salvation. David had allowed his joy to be taken from him. His own actions had allowed that joy to be removed from him. He said, I want that inner joy. I want that which is inside of me, that no matter what the situation is around me, I'm still in contact with that joy. Happiness can be given to you by other people. Which means if happiness can be given to you, then happiness can be taken from you. Think about it. If a person can make you happy, a person can make you sad. And, interesting enough, it can happen within moments. It can happen within seconds. It can happen in an instant of time. But joy, inward joy, is something that only can be given by Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh himself. And only can be taken by him. You can give it away. You can give it up. But joy is something that is received because of right relationship with our Creator. So joy has nothing to do with a horizontal plane. See, happiness is horizontal. Joy is vertical. Joy, happiness, is based upon my relationship in a horizontal with other people, and that can change in an instant. Joy is based upon my relationship vertically with my Father. So if I don't have joy, I go to one that is unchanging. If I don't have joy, something has happened. Either something has happened in that I have allowed something in my life to disrupt that flow of joy. I have brought something in my life that has hindered my relationship with the Father. And so I'm not in contact with that joy. Shaul will go on and give his pedigree. We'll give later in these verses, we'll talk about things that he has gone through. But he always had his joy because he always had that right relationship. What is more important to you today? Joy or happiness? For me, it's joy, because my joy comes from one that is unchanging. Happiness, if I'm living my life looking for happiness, then I'm looking to men and women that can change in a moment. And if they change, am I going to lose my happiness? Maybe. But I can never lose my joy, because it comes from one who is unchanging. Okay, where is the Timothys in our lives? Where's the Aphrodites in our lives? Are we becoming the Timothy to somebody else? Are we desiring to be the Aphrodites to someone else? Learning that relationships, this thing called relationships in life, are complicated, are they not? They can also be very simple, if we just learn what to walk in. I don't have time to expound on that one. I guess I should. Shavua Tov. Have a blessed, prosperous week. Bezrat Hashem, God willing. See you again next week. Until then, peace, drop.